Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
This is it! We have reached the day, the penultimate day in what has been a two-year journey. A journey that has seen one Donald Trump dispatch of, oh, God knows how many, 16 or 17 Republican hopefuls, Hillary get rid of a very tough opponent in Bernie Sanders. And these two have campaigned nationwide and at times worldwide. And now they stand alone. We've got our first polls closing. We should know here in a little bit some news, but throughout the evening, and we're going to go extra long tonight, an extra 3 hours just for you, we'll have the results. And by the end of the evening tonight, we will have a president of the United States, barring anything insane. They're saying up to 140 million people will cast a vote. Think about that. That is huge. Some people were thinking it was going to be about 100 million, maybe 110 or 20. But now they're looking at maybe 140 million. And now they're saying it is going to be the evening people that may decide this race. This morning, my gut said Hillary's probably going to win. But by how much? This evening, my gut's saying it's going to be much closer. But I don't know. That's the beauty of this, man. I don't know. I did. I voted. Some people ask me, did you vote? Yep, I voted. I voted. Here's the frustrating thing about voting in California, or if you're a Democrat and you vote in Texas, is your vote really doesn't matter. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it doesn't matter. That's what sucks, right? But I will tell you this, and I've said this, I wrote in the person I thought would have been the best president for us, a person who I think would have been able to not only reach across the aisle, but also would have been able to I think, lead from a position that, to me, I find myself somewhat drawn to, and that would have been John Kasich. So, not the czar, John screaming the czar, but that would not have been you, John. But I appreciate the thought and effort. There is no czars in this. There was one czar. That didn't go well for Russia. Let's pass on that. A lot of friends say, Chad, I'm going to write you. And I'm wearing a bow tie today, too. I'm feeling it. I bow tied myself up. It's going to be very interesting throughout the night, not only on how the presidential election plays out. And if you haven't voted, you should get out and vote. Regardless of who you vote for, it's extremely important. But a lot of people have. A ton of people have. Some 40-plus million people already voted. And in fact, I think that we got Florida. More people had done the ballots and absentee ballots than all of the people who voted in 2000. And that was before people hit the polls today. Just to show you what's going on. There are a few counties to look out for. Miami-Dade is a big one a lot of people are talking about. While it is heavily Latino in a lot of ways, they count Cuban-Americans as Latino and understand that Cuban-Americans, especially the first generation, not thrilled by the way the Obama administration has handled Cuba and not a big fan of Democrats across the board. So that doesn't bode well for Hillary in some sets. But the big thing here is the way that the Latino vote is going to go. It is going to be very big. It is going to sway some states. And it's going to be an interesting night because I think there's going to be rewriting of some of this stuff tonight where, you know, Florida, you got to win Florida, you got to win Ohio. But all of a sudden, you may win Florida, but you may lose Ohio, but you may win Michigan and Pennsylvania. There's a lot of things that are going on here. Mind you, a Republican has never won the White House without winning Ohio. That's how important it is. But we've never seen anything like Donald before. At all. We've never seen anything like the Donald before, out of nowhere. Think about that. What, 18 plus months ago, heading down the escalator, Trump Towers, doing what he does, as opposed to Hillary, I think she released hers on, a Sunday afternoon. So it's very different. The way this whole thing has gone has been completely different, but here we are. We are going to be hours away from finding out who's going to be the next president of the United States, who's going to lead us for the next 4 years. And can I just say something? I want everybody to grab a hold of this. You know, I'm me. Right? I don't know who you are, but I know who some of you are. But I'm just me. All right? I love politics, but I love my country. And I'm behind whatever president is there? Now, I'll be critical regardless of party, but at some point in time, you've got to hope and pray that the person who does win does the best they can and right by us. You know, eight plus years ago, you know, here comes, you know, Barack Obama, he wins it. And so many people wished for the worst, hoped things were going to go bad, just couldn't believe that this guy had won. And the want of him to fail was so big. I don't want that. If Hillary wins tonight, I don't want her to fail. I want her to succeed because I love my country. If Donald Trump wins tonight, I want him to succeed. And I want him to show everybody that he's not some insane, you know, loose cannon who's ready to go unhinged at any moment. I want him to succeed. I think we forget that. Somewhere along the line, we traded the R and the D for the us versus them, and that's just wrong. It's ridiculous. I want us to succeed as a nation. And I think we need to remember that as we move forward tonight, because there's going to be some hurt feelings. There is. There's going to be some hurt feelings. There's going to be some people who are going to be extremely upset. There's going to be some people out there who are going to say some things, because it is really one of those things where I've never seen. We've had a division in politics, but not to the extent now where it is so us versus them kind of feeling, whether it be social media, whether it be, you know, signs on the yard, whether it be, you know, through the regular forms of media that we're used to. It's enough, you know. Tomorrow morning, either one of these people are going to be president of the United States. And let me tell you something right now. They're going to have to lead all of us. You know, Hillary's made that plain and simple. And I've liked the fact that she's done that, where she said, you know what, there's a lot of people who haven't voted for me, but I want to do all I can to be the president of the United States for everybody, not just who voted for me. And I think that's where Barack Obama struggled at times. That's where I think he struggled, because he really was about the people that voted for me. If you didn't vote for me, screw you. Some of the exit polls, as they were talking to people, they want strong leadership. Absolutely. They want 47% wants a more, they want to either want to continue on Barack's path, or they want more liberal views in leadership. 46% want more conservative. There's the divide right there. That's the divide right there. Doesn't mean, though, that I want somebody to fail. I don't. I don't want either of these people, whichever one's going to become president, I don't want either of them to fail. I don't want them to be assassinated. I don't want them to die in office. I don't want any of that stuff. I want our president to be successful. And it drives me crazy that I see so many people out there who hope and pray that whoever wins does a horrible job. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle. Doesn't matter. Whoever it is, they want that person to fail. And I sit there and laugh. I get it. That's human nature, right? Like, if somebody gets a job that you wanted or promotion, you want them to fail, because you feel like you're being told you're wrong if you lose this. And you take it personally. I don't take it personally. I voted for who I thought would have been the best president. He is not going to win, by the way. But I thought John Kasich would have won. Had he been facing Hillary today, I don't think we'd be talking about this. I think this would be a foregone conclusion. We'd just be going through the motions. I think he would have won by 8 or 10 points. But the fact is that potentially tonight, she's going to be president of the United States. Potentially tomorrow, Donald Trump's going to be president of the United States. Somebody's going to be president. And whoever that is, I want them to do well. And if you don't want them to do well, if you want them to fail because they're from the other party, if you want them to fail because you don't like who they personally are, if that's what you want, that's not very American. That's not very American. And by the way, the exit polls say today that only 25% of the people that are voting so far in many of the states really cared about the negativeness of who these people were. So that should go to show you something. But it's going to be interesting. We're going to break it down tonight from top to bottom across the board. Jim Kennedy is going to join us later. We're going to have him on. Greg Corumbus is going to join us here in just a little bit. He is the Radio America news director. We're going to talk to him about some of the elections going on out there, not just the presidential election. We've got marijuana on the ballot to be legalized in five different states. And, of course, you've got the House and the Senate seats that are all up for grab. Is there going to be a shift there as well? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. You can text the show. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. That's the text line. And call us if you want to get on the show. 844-DIG-CHAT. 844-344-2423. Greg Corumbus joins us next from Radio America, the news director. We'll talk to him about some of the early results that are starting to pop up slowly but surely in Kentucky and a few other places. And we'll start to get a feel about to where we think this may be going tonight. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
Time that we can get Duran Duran election day on. It's a good day. It is election night, 2016. You vote, you decide. Vote early, vote often. All the jokes are out there. Greg Corumbus, the Radio America news director, joins us now. So, Greg, so give us a quick breakdown here on right now we've got the first two states, Kentucky and Indiana. Now, the polls aren't closed, or are they closed there?
It depends where you are in Indiana. If you're in the Eastern time zone, then they are closed. If you're in the Central time zone, they are open. So in Kentucky, that's the very western part of the state, is still open. And in Indiana, it's just a little sliver up around Gary where the polls are still open. Most of the state, almost entirely of the state, is on Eastern time. So the results that are coming in right now in Indiana and Kentucky, both of which would be a huge shock if they didn't go Trump. Right now, the early results showing that they are lining up in the Republican column. But we should have a pretty good idea within the hour, maybe even next hour, whether or not those are going according to expectations, because they count the votes pretty fast in those states, particularly Kentucky.
Which is great, because you would think anybody may not know how to count there, but we're all good with that. I'm kidding, everybody. Take a deep breath. Greg Corumbus joins us from Radio America. So, Greg, as I look at all this and we're breaking it down, obviously the first big one of the night is going to be Florida. And they're already exceeding expectations in Florida, and they still got a ways to go counting-wise. This is going to be huge in the way of maybe what decides this race, as well as Ohio. No Republicans ever won the race, the White House, without Ohio in its back pocket. But there could be a rewriting tonight, a lot of stuff, because Michigan, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, and all of these other states that you wouldn't think would go for somebody like a Donald, seems to be leaning towards Donald. Could be interesting.
Yeah, he's competitive, it seems like, in states that Republicans haven't been all that competitive in recent cycles. You've had some states where Mitt Romney tried, like Pennsylvania, still came several points short. Looks like Trump will get closer than that. McCain announced in September of 08 that he was backing out of Michigan. Trump has closed the gap there dramatically. The same thing in New Hampshire. North Carolina, you mentioned, that's been a toss-up state pretty much the whole campaign long here in the general election phase. And Florida, with the tied for the third biggest electoral vote prize with 29, just could not get closer. We watched the early vote totals over the past few weeks just stay neck and neck and neck. And now, as you just mentioned, huge turnout all over the state. Whichever one can get their people out will obviously win. But we're going to be watching that one, I have a feeling, pretty late into the night, as well as North Carolina.
What are you hearing about irregularities? Because I know that's the whole rig system. We've heard it for days. It's rigged, it's rigged, it's rigged. And there's going to be irregularities and cheating and this, that, and the other. Is there anything out there that people should be going, see, this is what I said?
A lot of it seems to be anecdotal, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. One of the things that was all over social media is the touchscreen machines in different parts of Pennsylvania. If you touch Trump Pence, it was still registering for Clinton and Kane. It seems as though once that was reported, poll workers could tweak the machine and then it would register the votes correctly. So I don't know how frequent that was, or if people weren't paying attention at various times and inadvertently voted for the wrong person. The only official one I know is a county out in Utah that has had machine problems countywide. Donald Trump sent out a tweet saying that Utah was reporting problems throughout the country. He threw in an extra letter in that tweet. He meant county, or at least he should have. If Trump needs those machines to be working correctly in Utah, it could be a long night for him, because he should win that state pretty easily. But that's the only one where a county official has actually mentioned problems with the machinery. The rest has been, poll workers perhaps trying to hand out materials or look over the shoulder of voters who claim they need help and maybe nudging them in a certain direction. But you get this every election day, and the question is how widespread it is. And right now it's hard to know if it's anything more than anecdotal. The key is to be observant and to make sure you tell someone if you do see a problem.
Great. You know, as we sit here and we look at this, you know, the last couple of days, I'm trying to figure out, are we going to have 105, 10 million people vote? Now they're saying, projection should be 140 million, and the evening voters are going to be the ones that decide this thing. It's looking like we could be seeing something here that we didn't think at all, an extra 20, 30 million people going to the ballot box, which in some ways I think it helps her more than him.
Oh, it probably does. Because usually the type of people that are going to vote for Donald Trump are people that vote more often. But one of the things you're hearing, and you certainly saw in the Republican primary, is people that came out that hadn't voted before. So he is drawing a certain element into the Republican line, or at least into his column. We'll see if they vote for other Republicans on the ballot that hadn't been out there before. So I think we are going to see a higher turnout for him than perhaps we even saw for Mitt Romney. We'll see in the final vote totals. But when you hear stories about Nevada and Florida with these just massive record turnouts of Hispanics, you can't but assume anything other than the fact that most of those people are probably leaning towards Hillary, although some polls have suggested that Trump might actually do slightly better among Hispanics than Romney did, which would be amazing.
Which would be amazing. Well, I think there's a lot of people that are here in this country who are Hispanic who, you know what, they did it the right way, and they see a lot of this stuff about, you know, they see illegal immigration even affecting them. So I think that we discount a lot of that stuff. So for the next 30 minutes or so until we head to the top of the hour, what do we got to look forward to next hour as far as what polls are going to be closing and where we're going to start to get a sense of, okay, this could be where the race is starting to turn?
Well, Florida, most of Florida will close at 7 o'clock Eastern time. But if you remember 2000 with the panhandle, that part's in the central time zone, so you can't call the state until at least 8 o'clock, and I'm guessing it'll be quite a bit later than that. That's how Al Gore and George Bush got all messed up when the networks called it before 8 o'clock. Other big states coming up at 7, the main one, I would say, Georgia as well as New Hampshire. Both Georgia should be leaning Trump. New Hampshire is a flat-out toss-up based on recent polls. Then North Carolina and Ohio both close at 7:30, so we'll keep an eye on those.
Greg Corumbus is his name. He's Radio America's news director. We'll be talking to him throughout the evening. As always, my man, appreciate that. Talk to you in a little bit.
You bet.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chad Benson. It is Election Day, and we've got it for you top and bottom, bottom to top. Text the show, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It'll be interesting to see how Trump does with the Latino vote. I think there's a lot of people out there. You know, normally the Republicans win when the turnout is low, right? That's always the kind of feel. When the turnout is low, the Republicans tend to do better. It'll be interesting to see not only what the exit polls look like, but for Trump in general, how he's going to do, you know, with the African-American votes. You know, we've had the ladies on numerous occasions here. We're efforting to get him tonight, but chance are we'll probably have him sometime tomorrow. Of course, talking about Diamond and Silk, but also with the Latino vote. And the fact that he may do better than Mitt Romney also shows you that there's a lot of people that are here, both, you know, born and raised here that are Latino and who are, you know, naturalized residents and citizens who are thinking to themselves, I'm not a fan of this either, you know, because I did it right. But there's no doubt. And I think this is where the Republicans have to understand tomorrow morning, regardless of what happens tonight, regardless of whether you win or you lose, whether you lose the House and the Senate or you keep all of them and you get Trump in there, tomorrow morning, your message needs to change. You didn't even run ads in Spanish. You have given up, much like you did with the African-American vote many years ago. And you've allowed the Democrats to bully you out of that. You need to stop this. We're just going to put our message out there, and we'll hope people come to it and they get it. You have to fix. Let me tell you something. If I'm fishing and the lake I'm at dries up, I don't say I'm going to sit here until the lake comes back. I go find a new lake and fish there. And this is what they have to do. This is absolutely what they have to do. The messaging needs to change. They need to go out and get into communities that they wouldn't normally be in and start to show them that we actually do care, that we actually do give a rat's ass about you, that we actually understand and have some empathy, and we get the plight and the fight that you're going through, and you're not doing it alone. And oh, by the way, the last 50 plus years, this is what's happened. And let me tell you something, too. Maybe not so much so with the Latino vote, but I will tell you this right now, and I want you to soak this up. The African-American vote, which was so important to the Democrats for so long, they don't care anymore. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a bigger voting bloc for the Latino vote. So you have been usurped. They are moving on from you. They figure they got you in the pocket, and they don't care about anything other than that. So they'll move on and put more effort, more time, and more energy into the Latino vote than they will the African-American vote. The Republicans should have an easier route in trying to win back some of the Latino vote. A lot of it's based on the fact that, look, a lot of people who are Latino tend to lean Catholic. They tend to be a little bit more conservative on social issues. There's a place that that I think would be a good fit. But this is a perfect time to strike if you're a Republican to get out there and to campaign and to talk and to actually immerse yourself in areas that you've never done this before. They need to fix the messaging, and they need to fix the way the message is being delivered, because the message has fallen on its face on too many occasions. It is floundered. It has fallen on the face. When I was out there, so the czar and Anthony and Jim Kennedy and I, we were out at the Republican convention in Cleveland. And I kept joking about the fact that it just felt like it was a white privilege convention. And some people were getting mad and we were laughing about it. But it looked like some of these people had literally stepped off like a yacht commercial, or, you know, like a Polo or an Yves Saint Laurent, magazine ad. And I said, how do you get not only the younger generation, but how do you get the minority communities, the Latino communities, the Asian communities, in many ways, the African-American communities? How do you get there? And they all said the same thing. Well, it's about message. We have our message and we deliver our message, and it's up to them to decide. And I'm like, you don't get it. This is where you faltered. It's not just about message. It's about going out and delivering that message. It's about going out and seeing. It's about going out and talking. It's about some of the retail politics we've talked about in the past. And I think John Kasich had it right. I think Paul Ryan has it right in a lot of ways. And I think this is what's going to happen over the next couple months. I'm telling you, there's going to be a miniature civil war within the Republican world. And it's going to happen. There's going to be a fight in the Republican world. There's going to be some people who want to take it back to the way it used to be. And there's going to be other people saying, look, if we go back there, guess what? We are done. And you know what? I have to believe that's absolutely true. If they don't fix their messaging, if they don't become more inclusive, if they don't get out there and really try to be the party for everybody and not just say it and expect everybody to come to it, but go out there and understand, yeah, I think they're going to be done for quite a long time. And unfortunately, when they do make a resurgence, it'll be because usually in situations like that, when you make a resurgence, it's because the other side is screwed up so bad. The other side has jacked the pooch so bad. I mean, horribly bad. That's when you do it. And you don't want to be that.
that fallback, right? So we'll see. But the messaging to me and the way the message delivered has to change. Kentucky's 8 electoral votes, about 2% in. Trump's up handily there, doing the same thing in Indiana. You figured Indiana would be delivered to him because of Mike Pence, and he's up extremely large there. We got about 18 minutes till the next polls close, and we'll see. 54 seats in the Senate for the Republicans, 46 for the Democrats. Will that change tonight? And if so, how much? 34 are at stake, and it could be a very interesting night tonight to see what happens. If that gap is going to stay, if it's going to get smaller, if it's going to increase. So it's going to be a very interesting night to see what takes place there. But, you know, some people are thinking it could go 51-49 as far as the Senate race. You would have Democrats in charge, and then, it's going to be interesting. It'll be very interesting tonight. On top of all of that, you've also got marijuana. Marijuana, man, is on 5 different ballots tonight, California being one of them. People ask me, did you vote for it? Yes, I did. I have said over and over again, and I will continue to do so, I find nothing wrong with marijuana. While I don't smoke and I don't drink and I've never done a drug, ever. By ever, I mean, I want you guys to soak this in. I've never had a drink in my life. I've never tasted alcohol. I have never had a smoke. I have never done a drug. But I don't care that you do. And this pretending that this drug war is going to be won based on the way that they've done things in the past, I think we all know that's not true. And there are actually benefits that people are seeing because of marijuana. And I would rather be in a room full of people who are stoned than a room full of people who are drunk.
You want to get high?
Oh, Tally, don't we all? We all might need to get high after tonight. So I voted for it. Some people did. Some people didn't. Some people's reasons were their own. But I think tonight you're going to see at least 3, if not all of these, go in the way of yes. And it's very weird to say that, here it is, that it's still a Schedule I drug, right? It's still a drug that is, as lethal apparently as heroin and crack and cocaine and meth and all these things. It's still that bad, according to the federal government. But states are voting on it and they're passing it. It's just bizarre. It's so weird. Federally, you can't do it. Statewide, though, and the feds know it's ridiculous. So we'll see what happens tonight. And this is the other thing. Even Republicans are for legalization of marijuana. If you look at the even the Republicans are, which normally was one of those things where if that got on the ballot, that boasted well for the Democrat side of things. Because you would get more people out there just to vote for that. And those tend to be people who are left-leaning. But nowadays, it's, kind of everybody does it. So it's not a big deal. And it's a moneymaker. And there's revenue for the states. And you know what? You might as well try to do all you can to slow down the growth of this thing, especially legally, comparatively to what you see it. Colorado's got its issues. Yes. The black market still exists, but nowhere near the kind of situation, violence and stuff that happens in the border states where it's not legalized. Start to take some of that stuff out of it. Ooh, it's going to be a very interesting tonight. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. 6 states are closing here in about 14 minutes' time. Greg Corumbus from Radio America is going to join us next. We're going to talk about those 6 states. Also give you an update on what's going on in Kentucky and Indiana, where Trump holds early but handy lead, quite frankly, in both of those states, as expected. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
We will have El Presidente tonight. Who will it be? I do not know. Very interesting. Greg Corumbus, the news director from Radio America, will be with us throughout the evening, joins us again. Greg, we've already got 2 states that are pretty much closed or will be officially in about 9 minutes. And then we've got another, 6 states after that that are getting ready to close?
Yeah, at 7 o'clock, you've got Alabama, most of Florida, Georgia, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Vermont, and Virginia. Most of those states are not expected to be super competitive, but some are. New Hampshire and Florida for sure. And if Trump is having a good night, Virginia could get a little more interesting than a lot of folks think. But last polls there seem to be about a 5-6 point spread for Hillary.
So, you know, I mean, there's ebbs and flows throughout the evening, and that's what we're going to get. How does this, you know, my frustration is for a lot of people on the, you know, on the west side of the country, you know, the west coastish area, southwest area, you know, I get frustrated because they'll start calling it at an hour. And if you're out there ready to vote and stuff, you're like, well, why do I want to go vote now? Why does the media do that? It's always about being first, isn't it, Greg?
It's about being first, and it's because they can. The rule is that all the polls in the state have to be closed before they can call it. And in a lot of states, obviously, you're going to know. But as we referenced earlier in the hour, it really messed things up potentially for George W. Bush, not only in Florida, that made things a lot closer because folks in the panhandle who might have been in line to vote for him were told that Al Gore had already won. But then out west, there were a lot of voters who potentially might have gone home because they figured, well, if Bush lost Florida, then he's not going to win the election. And it might be one of the reasons why he lost the popular vote. We can't know for sure how many people left the line. But I agree with you. I think we should have the point where at least the continental United States ought to be closed before we start calling things. And that way, everybody's got a chance to vote without being tarnished by the results as we think they're coming in on the East Coast.
Talking to Greg Harumbas, who is the news director from Radio America. He's going to be with us throughout the evening. So as these next six states, you know, get ready to close and we look into this, tonight is going to be very interesting, to, you know, as they start to break this thing down. You said something earlier about the way that that literally Trump may get more votes from Latino voters than Mitt Romney did. And yet I don't remember Mitt Romney being so divisive. That's insane.
Mitt Romney's big moment came in a Republican primary debate when he basically said he wanted to make it so tough for people in the country illegally to get jobs that they would self-deport. And that specific term, self-deport, was pounced on not only by his primary rivals, but also by President Obama to paint him as being harsh and uncaring and just trying to break up families and that sort of thing. And so it hurt him. He did much more poorly than George W. Bush, who got about 43% of the Latino vote in 2004. And I think he might have even done a little bit more poorly than John McCain in 2008. So Mitt Romney's performance wasn't good. So Trump beating it, despite all the rhetoric and the intrigue on border issues and immigration, would not be the world's most impressive achievement. But if he can get substantially beyond there, it could make a big difference in some of those tight states.
Speaking of that, the Latino vote this time around is more important than the African-American vote. And I think that's evident by the way the Democrats have really made this a huge issue. And in many ways, I think have left the African-Americans to kind of, you know, dangle in the wind because they figure, well, we've already got your vote. So why should we try anymore?
And that's exactly the message that Donald Trump's been pushing to them, is that the only thing the Democrats are interested in when it comes to you is your vote. And then they'll ignore you for 4 years and then they'll come back and ask for it again. And I'm here to tell you that I've got a different path forward. And we'll find out in the numbers tonight and probably more in the days ahead whether or not that message got through. But Donald Trump has certainly made the effort with the black community more than any Republican nominee I can think of in a very long time. We'll see if it pays off with the actual numbers, because obviously Barack Obama racked up huge numbers in the black vote in 2008 and 2012, and the Democratic nominee has done so for a generation or more. So if Trump can make a little bit of a dent there, again, it could make a difference when it counts most in some of these states.
Talking to Greg Harumbas, who's the news director for Radio America. He's going to be joining us throughout the evening as we break everything down. Every hour, we're going to have more and more states closing. We've got another six states that are getting ready to close. Two have pretty much closed, which is Kentucky and Indiana. Both victories, it seems like, for Trump. I think that was kind of a no-brainer. You know, it's funny, Indiana is, you know, Trump's kind of walking away with that as the early, you know, they've got only about 4 or 5% counted. But, I mean, you kind of figured that. But Virginia's going to be close. And, man, if you lose Virginia, Tim Kaine, why do we have you on this ticket?
That would be hugely embarrassing for the Clinton-Kaine ticket. They're largely assuming that that's in their column tonight. And if it doesn't, boy, buckle up, because if they can't hang on to Virginia, that means a lot of other places are likely in play. And that means Trump's really got the turnout going, despite not much of a turnout operation, at least compared to Hillary.
How much do you think the non-retail has hurt somebody like Trump, who, again, he didn't, and by the way, retail, for those of you who don't know, is he's out getting people, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, going door to door. How much do you think that's hurt him? Because I just don't see that it's hurt him that much.
We'll find out. But you're right. He's basically gone from rally to rally. He's not a guy that went to a lot of diners in Iowa and New Hampshire. He kind of focused on the big event and a ton of free media all the way throughout this campaign. So he really didn't need to do the retail, because retail is largely for guys who aren't known very well and need to get their face in front of voters. Trump did it just by waking up every day.
Last question, and then we'll let you go before we talk to you next hour. Talking to Greg Corumbus, the news director from Radio America. Maine and Nebraska, why are they different compared to all the other states?
There are two states in the country that are not necessarily winner-take-all in the Electoral College. They do it by congressional district. So if you win Nebraska, which has three congressional districts, you automatically get the two electoral votes that would be for the Senate, and you'll also get the votes for each congressional district that you carry. So there's one district in Nebraska that could go to Hillary. It's a pretty competitive district over by Omaha. And then in Maine, there's one that's pretty competitive, one electoral vote out of four that could potentially go to Trump. Not many people suspecting that he could actually win the state, just like nobody expects Hillary to actually win Nebraska.
No, we do not. We do not. We do not believe she's a Husker, if that's what you're asking.
Right.
His name is Greg Corumbus. He'll be joining us throughout the evening. Appreciate that, man. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Thank you, Chad.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Want to hear from you throughout the evening. Text line is wide open. A lot of texts are coming in. People are excited. People are nervous. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You can also call 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. We're with you throughout the evening. We will get through this together, people. We will get through this together. That I promise. We're going long and strong all night just for you right here on the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.